I'm going to ask you to pull out your hymnals, and in the back of your hymnal is a copy of Luther's Small Catechism, you know, kind of the handbook for learning the faith and what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in the Lutheran way. It's on page 1160 is where it begins. And specifically, I want to invite you to join me on page 1163, which is the writings on the Luther's writings on the Lord's Prayer. It's probably been a while for many of us, for some of us anyway, since we've spent some time in the Small Catechism. And that's where I want to kind of take you. Feel free to kind of reference and wander around in it a little bit. I'm going to ask you to join me at the end of it by the time I get to the end of my time together. So be ready for that. Grace and peace to you, dear friends, in Jesus' name. Amen. All this month, as we've remembered with the kids, we have been kind of sprinting our way through the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer in 4 weeks. Pastor Sue got us started with the introduction, Our Father, where Jesus teaches us not only that we call God by a particular name that he teaches us, Our Father, but also in that to approach God with a faith and a trust in that relationship as children and father, that even far, far outshines our relationships that we may have with our earthly fathers, good, bad, or otherwise. Weeks 2 and 3, Pastor Connie led us through some meditation and consideration of the first petition, Hallowed be thy name, and the second and third petitions, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. She reminded us that it's not just God who is holy, but that we too are holy. Not by any super special stuff that we have done to make ourselves holy or special, but because God has created us holy. And God has called us into relationship with God and into relationship with each other, our neighbors, the whole creation. And so living in that connection with God and in service and love with each other, we experience not our holiness, but God's holiness given to us. Likewise, we remembered last week, we were reminded last week as citizens of God's kingdom. As citizens of God's kingdom, that we are called to be a part of this unfolding reign of God right here. Right here, right now, even as we live our daily lives. It's not that God's kingdom is this faraway heaven toward which we strive to arrive. More so than that, we are a part, or at least we pray in this prayer to be a part of that gracious, loving, merciful, reigning activity of God coming right into existence all around us, even in this fallen and broken world. All right, so that's kind of our review and introduction. Here's the deal. We've got 4 weeks, right, to squeeze in the entire Lord's Prayer. There are 7 petitions, 7 individual parts where we're asking something of God, not to mention the introduction that Pastor Sue led us through, Our Father, and what we call the doxology, that part at the end, right, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That's always the sure sign that there's a Lutheran among a Roman Catholic gathering. Right? The Roman Catholics stop and the Lutherans just keep right on going. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That's called sometimes the doxology. So 7 petitions plus the introduction and the doxology in 4 weeks to do it, which means I get to cover the whole rest of the Lord's Prayer today. Which also means you're probably skipping right ahead to the 6th petition, which is sometimes translated, save us from the time of trial. No. I don't think that what we're going to do here this morning is such a tall task. What if we put the rest of the Lord's Prayer, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th petitions under one heading, and that heading will read, Our Needs and the One Who Provides. Our needs and the one who provides. The 4th petition, piece of cake, so to speak. The 4th petition is the one about our daily bread. the fifth petition is about forgiveness, not just God's forgiveness to us, but our forgiveness one to another as well. And the sixth and seventh petitions are the ones about being saved from the time of trial and deliverance from evil. All under one heading, these are our needs, and this is the one who provides our needs. I think we can accomplish this in one sitting pretty easily now. Remembering then, give us this day our daily bread. We explored that with our kids. Remembering what Martin Luther helps us with in the small catechism, that what we're asking for isn't literally just bread, but rather everything we need for daily life. You can see those kind of listed in that fourth petition there in your hymnal, in the small catechism. In a particularly 16th century way, the small catechism invites us to name these things like this. This is how Luther wrote it. It was considerably more confusing maybe even upsetting because it was originally written in German, but it went like this. Food and clothing. House and home, fields and flocks, money and property, a pious spouse and good children, trustworthy servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, seasonable weather, peace and health, order and honor, true friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And the like is my favorite part because, you know, take fields and flocks. I don't have a field or flock. Servants, I don't have those either. And the like invites us to name what it is that we have received and need on a daily basis for fruitful living, service to God by service to one another. So maybe we might add things under that heading and the like, things like a good Wi-Fi signal and a reliable communication device, or a vehicle that I can rely on and affordable gas prices and more. Whatever those additions might be in adding and interpreting daily bread, the prayer most importantly reminds us from whence all these things come. However long and however convoluted that supply chain might be, it is God and God alone who provides not only for our daily needs, but through us to the daily needs of others as well. Fifth petition. Depending on your particular outlook on the Lord's Prayer or your life in general, are you a trespasser, are you a sinner, or are you a debtor? Doesn't really matter. But once again, in this prayer, Jesus teaches us under that heading, what are our needs? And who is the one who provides? So let's hear what Luther has to say about this one. We ask in this prayer, Luther writes, that our Heavenly Father would not regard our sins, nor deny these petitions because of our sins, for we are worthy of nothing for which we ask, nor have we earned it. Pause for just a second. That seems kind of harsh, maybe on some level, on Luther's account, that we are worthy of nothing for which we ask, nor have we earned it. But what Luther is doing there is kind of riffing on the words that the Apostle Paul writes in his letters and throughout the New Testament. And it's not just about the state of the human soul in general. It's about my soul. It turns out, when he starts talking about the problem of sin. In Romans 3, for example, Paul writes these words, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And lest we think of of Paul as some kind of self-righteous theological blowhard who's aiming conviction and indictment at other people. Paul writes this in Romans 7. I don't get me. I don't understand myself. The good stuff that I know I'm supposed to do, that stuff kind of sits on the back burner. But the horrible stuff that I'm not supposed to do, sometimes I even feel good about inflicting it on other people. Wretched person that I am, Paul says. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, he concludes. And continuing then with Luther and his little book that has plagued generations of middle schoolers, this is how Luther concludes it. Instead, we ask that God would give us all things by grace, for we sin daily much. So, beloved in Christ, if you didn't hear it at the beginning of the service, if you didn't take it to heart at the outset, hear it now. Beloved in Christ is a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, and by the way, since I ask for, since I receive forgiveness, the Lord's Prayer also intends to incline our sinful and forgiven hearts towards our neighbors in that same posture of grace that God has just dealt with us. And then lastly, the sixth and seventh petitions, again under that heading, our needs and the one who provides. As much of a traditionalist as I tend to be, as I think I tend to be in matters of faith, it's here that I recommend, even if you continue to pray the Lord's Prayer using those confounding words, lead us not into temptation. Old habits die hard. Keep praying that way. Keep praying and keep praying that way. But if you would at least hear in your hearts and your minds when you pray those words, the so-called more updated version of the prayer, save us from the time of trial. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. I think in this case, that so-called newer version is better and clearer. Luther himself, if you look at the catechism there in the sixth petition, Luther himself seems to kind of battle against that language or apologize for that language of God tempting us in the small catechism. It is true, he writes, God tempts no one. I just find it that much more clearer than when we say, save us from the time of trial. God, help us. Be with us. Save us from our times of trial. Whatever those trials may be, from the ordinary and the mundane and the daily grind of traffic and the jerk that just cut me off, forgive me my sins, or watching and waiting that comes with the death of a loved one. Save us from our trials. Be with us. And more importantly than just theological clarity, as the whole prayer seeks itself to do, this save us from the time of trial language situates us towards God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for us when we suffer, rather than that terrifying notion that our suffering might be from God himself. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. And then there's the conclusion of the prayer itself. And once again, the way Luther helps us dwell in our Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Please join me in that conclusion on page 1164. What does this mean? That I should be certain that such petitions are acceptable to and heard by our Father in heaven. For he himself commanded us to pray like this, and has promised to hear us. Amen. Amen means yes, yes, it is going to come about just like this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.